Now, in the latter half of the 1800s, widespread suspicion and anxiety emerged when wives of all ages and social status were accused of killing their husbands with poison. However, what seemed like a massive spike in murderous wives across the United Kingdom and United States may not have been a spike at all, but rather a poison panic caused by hungry newspapers and mass hysteria. Christine Seyfert joins us now to tell us about her book, Toxic Wives, Murder, Media and the Poison Panic in America. It's great to have you on the show with us, Christine.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Now, we're hearing this more and more and more, aren't we? I mean, the media in recent times are doing a lot of scaremongering and causing a lot of problems. So they were doing that back then, were they?
Absolutely. These poison panic stories were the true crime of the 19th and 18th century. People could not get enough of it, and newspapers could not publish enough of it.
And why? Why did they want to do that if it wasn't necessarily true?
Well, I think there's a couple of answers to that question. One, I think that for many people, they did think it was true. In many of these cases, all it took was a witness or two to say, yes, I think this woman did poison her husband, and that would have been enough to, in some cases, convict women. I think the other thing is it just sold newspapers. People yeah. loved the story, and you know, nothing changes. People loved reading about it. But I also think it was a case of people working through their fears of women who were slowly gaining more independence, and they were gaining more political rights, at least for white women. And that was something that people were frightened of.
Yeah, they didn't like it, did they?
Not at all.
Now, there was almost a template that every newspaper used, and Marie Lafarge was one of the first major entries in the poison wife canon. Who was she then?
Yes. So Marie Lafarge was a young woman. She was 19. She was an orphaned girl. She had a family name, but no real wealth. So she didn't have many options except to marry. She married an older man, Charles Lafarge, a widower. And she was not happy about it, but she didn't have a lot of choices. She refused to consummate the marriage for some time, though eventually she softened and the marriage seemed to be a happy one until Charles dropped dead. And the family was suspicious, so they had a postmortem done and there was no arsenic in his body, but the family insisted that Marie must have been guilty. So several analyses were performed until somebody said, yes, there is absolutely arsenic in the body. And Marie ended up in court. It was an absolute media circus. People came from all over to watch this poor young woman on trial.
So was it just a downright lie then? There wasn't arsenic in his system?
Well, it's complicated because different experts, different toxicology experts found different things. They would oftentimes test over and over again until they found arsenic. But the question always remained, whose test was correct? In this case, there were competing rival toxicologists who were coming up with different answers. There was also arsenic in the eggnog that Charles had drunk prior to dying. But that eggnog had been in the possession of Charles' family before it was tested. So it wasn't clear if Marie had put arsenic in the eggnog, if the family had put it there, if someone else had put it there. But there was arsenic all over the place at the time. It was just unclear who was putting it there.
So why did they convict her then? Why her and not a family member? Was there any sort of evidence that it was her?
The only evidence that they had is the fact that she was unhappy in the marriage and had written several letters stating that she was unhappy in the marriage, at least in the beginning. The family didn't like her. She was from Paris and she had fine manners and came from a family name, and the Lafarge family lived in a smaller town and didn't have the same sort of background that she did. So it seems that the family didn't like her. But also, I think it was just the idea that it must have been the wife. People just made that assumption. And that's part of the reason that the panic persisted for as long as it did.
Interesting. Now, another lady was Anne K. Simpson. Back in 1849, she was having lunch with her husband, and it was thought that she poisoned him with a cup of coffee.
Yes. And the evidence against her was that she and her husband, Alexander, were having lunch with two of their boarders, two of the men who boarded with them. And Anne had poured the coffee, and one of the boarders went to pick up the cup of coffee, and she said, "No, that is for Alexander." She claimed that that's because she had prepared the coffee in the way that Alexander liked. But that threw suspicion upon her. Why did she know which particular cup of coffee went to her husband? And that was enough to do a postmortem after Alexander died. There was also suspicion because his symptoms were so similar to arsenic poisoning. The toxicologist did three tests. Two said that, yes, there was arsenic. One said that there was not arsenic. The two tests were the ones that were used in court. It's also true, however, that Alexander had been ill and taking several different prescribed tonic medications, which had all kinds of things in them, including potentially arsenic.
Ah, but there was a big bout of cholera at the time, so it could have been cholera.
It absolutely could have been cholera. And in many of these cases, that's probably what it was, particularly in cases where several family members died within short succession. It may very likely have been cholera from tainted water or from some other source, but the symptoms of cholera are very similar to the symptoms of arsenic.
Interesting. Was it always arsenic that they got these women on?
Almost always. I found I'm trying to remember, but I think that there was only one case where it was something else. But for the most part, it was arsenic. Part of that is because arsenic was so easy to get. People oftentimes bought it to eliminate rats. So it was typical for people to have it in the household. It was also in just about every consumer product that you could think of, including the color green, which is why it was oftentimes in wallpaper or in other household items. And then women also used it as a cosmetic. It lightened the face, potentially because it made you sick.
Yeah. How awful. I can think of easier ways of lightening your face, definitely. Interesting, though, Anne K. Simpson wasn't found guilty.
She was not found guilty, even though she had a neighbor who testified against her and said that Anne had been visiting a fortune teller and that the fortune teller had said Alexander, her husband, would die and Anne would be free to marry the man that she really loved. That was damning evidence in court. A seamstress who lived with the family said that Anne was in love with another man, though no one was ever able to identify who this man was. At the time, the jury was a bit concerned about convicting a woman with the potential of her getting the death penalty. So while the court painted her as guilty, they didn't feel comfortable sentencing her to the death penalty, and she ended up being found not guilty.
And was she having an affair? Was there another man?
There was absolutely no evidence of such things. She denied it. No man came forward. The prosecution had no one that they could identify, just this man.
Mm. The trouble is, I suppose, even though the court found her not guilty, that the seed was sown in other people's eyes and her life was probably never the same again.
It was not. And in fact, she popped up later when a woman in another state in the United States was tried for killing her husband with poisoning. Her name was also Anne, different last name, but that Anne came from North Carolina, and the New York Times ran an article stating it was the same person, though there was absolutely no evidence for that.
And third and finally, Christine, Mary Hartung, who I believe was married to an abusive alcoholic husband.
Yes. That, honestly, that was kind of a common theme. Many of the women who were accused of arsenic poisoning were married to men who were abusive or alcoholics. In the United States, they could not get divorced in most states. In the case of Mary and her husband, Emil, he was 26, she was 16 when they got married. She was actually having an affair later on in their marriage with one of the men who was boarding in their boarding house. His name was William Ryman. When Emil, the husband, got sick, his doctor prescribed several tonics, including an emetic, which is something that will cause all of the symptoms of arsenic poisoning. Emil died, and Mary and her lover, William, ran off. They knew that they were going to be arrested, and eventually Mary was caught through a series of unusual events, and she ended up on trial. It was called the social event of the winter season. She was accused of putting arsenic in Emil's food. However, William, her lover, was not tried, and she claims that he was the one who was doing it.
Oh, okay. And was she found guilty?
She was found guilty. She was ultimately tried three times. By the third trial, she was eventually found not guilty. But it took three trials for her to get the not guilty verdict, and she spent the rest of her life under a cloud of suspicion. She claimed that she had no idea about the arsenic, did not know that William was poisoning Emil. William, however, got off scot-free. And it's interesting that the assumption was it must have been the wife, because surely the boyfriend had every bit as much reason to poison Emil as the wife did.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, or they could have done it together, I suppose.
Absolutely. Again, she denied it. She said that she had no idea. It does seem more likely that the evidence was against William, the lover, as opposed to Mary, but that didn't fit the media narrative.
And how did all this stop Christine? I mean, was there a poisons register, or did they bring in a regulation act?
In 1851, British lawmakers did propose an arsenic bill. It was passed. It did make it harder to get arsenic. No such law was ever passed in the United States. But interestingly, by about the 1920s or so, it just kind of died out. It just sort of stopped happening, or at least it stopped happening in such a way that the media covered it in such a sensational manner.
Very interesting. It makes me think of Agatha Christie.
Absolutely.
Well, for our listeners, if they're interested, they can buy the book from our website right now. It's called Toxic Wives, Murder Media and the Poison Panic in America. It's by Christine Seyfert, who we're speaking to now. And as I say, you can buy it right now. Christine, very interesting to chat to you. Love this sort of subject. Thank you very much for being on today's show with us.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Bye-bye.
Bye.